This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatim al-Nabiyyin, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran ila yawm al-Din. Amma ba'd. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek refuge in Him. And we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and His safety, may His mercy, may His blessings be upon you all. وَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our deeds. And may Allah make us from the thankful. And make us from the sincere. May Allah make us from those who recognize His blessings upon us. Alhamdulillah, we have begun another odd night from the nights of Ramadan, the 27th night of Ramadan. And Allah blessed us to complete the Isha prayer and the Taraweeh prayer. And alhamdulillah, now Allah has blessed us to have a circle of knowledge. A circle of knowledge. Knowledge, no doubt, of the Quran. And I remind you all to a narration that I mentioned to you earlier. I'm not sure if the viewers caught it. But it's something I mentioned to our audience at some point in Ramadan, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. La ilaha illallah. Amazing narration, subhanallah. It's a narration that deserves sujood shukr, the sujood of gratitude. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there's no group of people that gather in a house from the houses of Allah. And the scholars say, this qaid baytin min buyutillah kharaja makhraj al-ghalib. This is a qaid in usul al-fiqh. This is a what they call a citation that has no bearing on the ruling. Meaning, even if this gathering happened online, or it happened in a musalla, or happened in a classroom, then this applies. The gifts of this narration apply. Okay? But alhamdulillah, if you are in a house from the houses of Allah, then min babi awla. It applies without doubt. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant when he said min baytin min buyutillah, because the norm at his time was that any Islamic studies, any gatherings to study something from the Quran or the Sunnah happened, this was in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi, a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the norm. This is what kharaja makhraj al-ghalib. Min ghalib means your norm, what normally happens. But for you, it's important just to realize that this narration, according to some of the scholars of Islam, applies even to these circles of knowledge dedicated to the Quran, even if it happens outside of a masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when these circles happen, these gatherings dedicated to the Quran happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the people of this gathering with four blessings. He gifts them four gifts. And each gift, subhanallah, is a gift that if we only had that gift, we would rush towards this. It's too much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when his slaves do this, Allah showers the people of this gathering, number one, with sakina. He causes sakina to descend from the heavens upon the people of this gathering. Sakina. These moments of contentment, moments of solace, moments of inner peace. When you sit in these gatherings, subhanallah, Allah keeps the worries away, because your mind is being filled with light. I was telling the sisters in the sisters program this past weekend, they asked me to explain Ayah number 35 in Surah Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Subhanallah. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Huwa Nur as Samawat wal Ard. He is the light of the heavens and the earth. And the scholars of tafsir say, Al Nur hadha yashmal al Anwar al Fi'liyah wal Anwar al Hissiyah. Subhanallah. Afwan, al-hissiyya, al-anwar al-hissiyya, wal-anwar al-ma'nawiyya. This nur, Allah being the light of the heavens and the earth, means Allah is the light of everything that you consider light. And everything that you see and consider it as something, a light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lit it. When a person feels happiness, contentment, serenity, do you feel moments of darkness or moments of light? Light. This moment that you have is from the reality of this meaning of this verse, Allahu Nur as-samawati wal ard. It's light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in your heart. So Allah showers the contentment. He causes this light to descend from an-nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa nazalat alayhim as-sakina. Now some people say, Shaykh, you know, when I'm in the lesson, in the lecture, in the khutbah, you know, I start dozing off. You know, I really feel so relaxed, subhanAllah. I start falling off to sleep. Is this from the, from this sakina? Allah yahdik ya akhi. May Allah guide you, subhanAllah. Sleep early, have a balanced diet. Make sure you do your exercise and become fitter. So you can sit in the lesson and pay attention. Sakina. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ Subhanallah. Look at the messaging. Look at the wording in the message of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon you His mercy. He says He drowns you in His mercy. غَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ He drowns you in His mercy. He overwhelms you with His mercy. لا إله إلا الله. And you can't get out of it. This is us right now. We are drowning in Allah's mercy. You make a dua right now to Allah, it's not the same as the dua you will make when you walk out of the building, the premises, subhanAllah. It's different. You say subhanAllah here, it's a whole different subhanAllah. For you saying it whilst you're drowning in Allah's mercy. You ask Allah to forgive you here, la ilaha illallah. You are asking Allah to forgive you whilst you're drowning in His mercy. That's gift number two. I told you, every gift, subhanAllah, if it was the only gift in and of itself, we would rush towards it. وَحَفَّتُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ SubhanAllah, Allah causes the angels to surround the gathering. Surround the gathering. And in another narration in the Sahih, and Imam al-Nawawi mentions it in his book, Al-Adhkar, as well. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels called as-sayyahun. Angels called as-sayyahun. Their job description, their role, since they were created, is to roam the globe, looking for majalis al-dhikr, looking for the circles of knowledge, in which the Qur'an and the sunnah is being shared. Subhanallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that when an angel finds this gathering, it stops and it calls out to all the other angels who are searching and haven't found a circle of knowledge. Look at the karam of the malaika. They're generous with each other, huh? And Yusuf also was generous. Subhanallah. What would you and I do? We found the treasure. Do we start making announcements? Or we, keep it a secret, ya akhi. خلينا نستفيد نحن يعني نشرب أولا بعدين يعني نشوف. We are in that insana khuliqa halu'a. Iza massahu al-khayr manu'a. Allah says we're created in haste. When the goodness comes, we are withholding. The angels call out to the other angels. Come, aqbil, come. We found a gathering. Come and be a part of this gathering. And they surround the people of this gathering. This gathering right now is surrounded by malaika. Ana shahid. I'm a witness to it. Because I believe in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Guys were looking at me like, is the Shaykh, yani, He's got some supernatural powers, yeah, and he can... Power of Iman, my brother. That's all. Believe in what your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said it, so we believe it. What do you have to lose? What's the downside in believing this? Believe it. Say, Alhamdulillah. What's the fourth gift? Wallahi, the fourth gift, subhanallah. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Allah mentions the people of this gathering to the angels that are with Allah. Fulan ibn Fulan. I am proud of him. Fulan ibn Fulan. I am proud of him. Look at Fulan ibn Fulan. Right now, we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising us to his malaika. Wa ana shahid. I am a witness. Because I believe in what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Hadith is authentic. And what's the downside in believing it? Sometimes we belittle ourselves. And sometimes we belittle the opportunities. Many years ago, 2014, 2015, I spoke about the celebrity fan culture. And some people criticized me for it, Allahul Musta'an. Although it was not meant as a message to any person of knowledge. It was a message to the ummah, to the masses, who started taking the people of knowledge as celebrities and only rushing towards their lectures. And the local scholar who sits with their troubles daily, sits with their difficulties nightly, runs the circle of knowledge and no one's there to be seen. It's as if the community doesn't exist. But once this sheikh who Allah's blessed or tested, it's a test. Fame is a test. Comes, all of a sudden, the local sheikh, he's also surprised. Subhanallah. We have an ummah here. So all these Muslims, it's like the 27th night of Ramadan. Huh? Suddenly you say, wow, mashallah, fi ummah, mashallah, tabarakallah. There's people here. So when I wrote on this and spoke about it, it was because of this point that why do you belittle the circle of knowledge that the angels come to? Yani there's angels coming to it and you are more special. You decide, la, the sheikh, ma'alesh, be at home. But even if it's difficult to listen to the sheikh, come and benefit from being surrounded by malaika. And also, by the way, and this is another topic for another day, who said seeking knowledge has to come to you like a dessert from a dessert shop? Who said? If seeking knowledge and empowering your iman sustainably would come to us like dessert from a dessert parlor, mashallah, Australia has a lot of beautiful gelato places, mashallah. You guys, mashallah, yani. You have it. If the deen was supposed to come to you like this, and the knowledge was supposed to come to you like this, what hope would Shaytan have? Let's be honest. Yani, if it was meant to be easy, I'm saying, what hope would Shaytan have? Everyone would be allama. Because you don't have to seek knowledge, it just comes to you. Dessert, like a dessert comes to you. When you are on demand, on tap, as they say, huh? On demand, it just comes. No, you have to seek it. You have to go travel. You have to move. From the suburbs to the city if need be. From the north of the city to the south of the city if need be. For the sake of Allah. And you're in the path of Allah. And then you situate yourself in a gathering surrounded by malaika. That's how the knowledge comes. And when Jibreel came as a student and a teacher, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina with his sahaba, famous hadith, Imam al-Nawawi mentions it, the hadith of Umar, second hadith in Arba'in al-Nawawi. He mentions kunna julusan inda an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iz dakhala alayna rajul shadidu bayad al-thiyab shadidu sawad al-sha'r la yura minhu athar al-safar wa la ya'rifu minna ahad hatta jalasa inda an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi wa wada'a kaffayhi ala fakhidhayhi fa qala ya muhammad akhbirni 'an al-islam. It's a long hadith ila akhir al-hadith. Jibril came from the heavens to seek knowledge, to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to teach the Sahaba. From the heavens, light years, brothers and sisters in Islam. And then how did he come? Did he come dressed with stained clothes, creased clothing, as if he hasn't slept for 3-4 nights, he needs to sleep. No. Look how Umar is describing him. His thawb was white, crisp, crisp white. What's the wasf in the hadith? Shadidu bayad al-thiyab. Shadidu bayad. It's not just white, it's crisp. It's super white. Shadidu sawad al-sha'r. His hair was black. He came in the shape of a man. His hair was black. When you travel through the desert, you come, you arrive, you have brown in your beard, you have brown on your thobe. Medina, you have to get into Medina, you come to the desert. Why were the Sahaba surprised about who this person is? Because he looked like he just came from somebody's house in Medina, but nobody here knows who he is. And obviously there's no 5-star hotel, 4-star hotel, 3-star hotel. There was no hotels back then. So how is it somebody's come here, no one knows him, and he looks like he's just come from home into the masjid? There's so many lessons here. Our mashayikh, when they dissect this hadith, from it, there's a whole segment dedicated to adab talabat al-ilm, the manners and morals and etiquettes of seeking knowledge. And from them, oh, amdiya huquba. Musa alayhi salam, what does he say in Surah Allah tells us about him in Surah Al-Kahf. Musa was allama. But when Allah told him, allama meaning the most knowledgeable person. But when Allah told him there's someone on earth who has knowledge that you don't have, Musa, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَهُ. Amazing, huh? Allah told Musa, you will find this Khidr. You know where? Where the two seas meet. Where the two seas meet. Okay. Khidr, Musa says to his assistant, his aide, he says to him, I will not rest until I find Khidr, even if my travel lasts huquba. What is huquba? Decades. Takhayyal, imagine. And subhanAllah, just as a footnote, Allah made them meet where the two seas meet. You had a sea of knowledge meeting another sea of knowledge where the two physical seas meet. What a setting, ya akhi. What a setting for two scholars to meet. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention us to his malaika. Ameen. And cause our gathering to be surrounded by malaika. Ameen. And may Allah drown us in his mercy. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower contentment upon us. Ameen. Yesterday, or should I say, in case anyone's wondering, this is the Surah Yusuf series that we're running this Ramadan here in the Melbourne Medina, in association with the National Zakah Foundation Australia. It is not a tafsir session, but it is a tadabbur session, a pondering session. We ponder over the verses in the Quran pertaining to the story, and we try to extract lessons that matter to us in the 21st century. And as such, it has been called Surah Yusuf for the 21st century. Yesterday we stopped at the verse فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًا. And I told you it's so eloquent. For those who understand the Arabic language, subhanAllah, it's amazing. It's from the miracles of the Quran. Because in a few words, Allah summarizes so much. Basically, in summary, Yusuf alayhi salam's plan is executed. Operation Binyamin is successful. Binyamin is with Yusuf. By the testimony of the brothers, they are the ones who said what the punishment would be. Remember, we said Allah tells us in the Quran, and I made a mistake earlier when I said it was Judeo-Christian, from the Judeo-Christian narratives. We actually get it from the Quran. That the law of Egypt for the one who stole was different to the law of Palestine for the one who stole. So Yusuf made the brothers mention the punishment for the one who steals. So when he takes Binyamin, it is based on a law that they said, because they don't know the law of Egypt. And Allah tells us later on that Yusuf couldn't have been able to assume possession of Binyamin using the law of the king, meaning the law of Egypt, because that law was different. That is all Allah's planning. Now, remember, these brothers, they said to Yusuf, they didn't know it was Yusuf, they said to this minister that, you know what, please, we have an elderly father, and you, please take one of us, don't take him, anyone but him. They pleaded, they tried, they went right, they went left, yameen, yes. You can imagine them looking at every opportunity, using every discussion, thinking of every discourse that they can use to try and convince him. But it doesn't work. Yusuf says, I seek refuge in Allah from having to take someone who's not involved in this. Meaning, I cannot take someone whose sack didn't have the goblet in. I got to take the one whose sack had the goblet in, the siqaya. Yusuf didn't call him a thief. He described the situation. He goes, I can only take the person who owns the sack, who's carrying the sack, meaning the load of food, that has this goblet in it, that has the siqaya in it. Is he lying? He's not lying. Why are you saying yes? Is he lying? He's not lying. Is Yusuf lying? Yusuf didn't call him a thief. He didn't call him a thief. He didn't say, I seek refuge in Allah from taking someone who isn't the thief. Did he say that? No. Are you with me, guys? Or should we do a stand-up session? I see Sakina, a lot of Sakina here, subhanAllah. Huh? Shayatina chained. If you're not with it, it says a lot about yourself. You guys are with it, inshallah. But are you getting the point? The point is here, Yusuf is careful with his words. He didn't tell his brothers that I seek refuge in Allah from taking anyone who isn't the thief. He didn't use the word thief. He said, I seek refuge in Allah from taking someone who has a load of food that didn't have this goblet in it, the siqaya in it. So there's no lie here. Now, Allah says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. After all of that, and they lost all hope, they tried all the means, and they've seen that nothing is going to benefit us, they leave and they have a private meeting amongst themselves. Now, when did they have another private meeting in Surah Yusuf? Ahsant. Well done. Where's your boys today? Okay, they're listening though, inshallah. When did the brothers of Yusuf have this private gathering? Our brother mentioned to us when? At the beginning of the story, when they had this private gathering to say that our father, he has excessive love for Yusuf and he doesn't look at us, he only looks at Yusuf. We need to get Yusuf out of here, we need to kill him. And at the end they decided to throw him into the well. They had a private meeting. Now they're having another private meeting. The first private meeting, and as-aluka, I'm asking you, was it praiseworthy or not? Huh? The people in the camera didn't hear you guys. Was it praiseworthy or not?
No.
Yeah, Yahi, you got to remember. These guys on camera, they'll say, Wallahi, Sheikh Saadid, he was teaching himself. There was no one there. And he was just making as if there's people. Because every time he asked a question, we didn't hear anything. Maybe we need to bring the sisters here. I don't know, Yani. The first gathering, was it praiseworthy or not? No. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Tayyib. This gathering now, what happens in this gathering? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they gathered and they had a discussion and the elder brother took lead. The elder brother took lead. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The elder brother, the senior of the family after the father, he took lead. What does Allah say? قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The big one said, the elder one said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا. Do you not know? أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ. That your father, قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Took from you مَوْثِقًا. An oath, you swore by Allah. وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ. Have you forgotten again what happened with Yusuf before the Binyamin incident that we're dealing with now? So he says to his brothers, subhanallah, and this is now he's taking leadership, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He says to his brothers, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لَيْ أَبِي. I'm not leaving this land until my father sends a message allowing me to leave. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me permission to leave. He says, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And Allah is the best of those who judges. إِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ. All of you go back to your father. فَقُولُوا. And say to him, tell him what happened. إِنَّ بْنَكَ سَرَقْ. That your son stole. And say to him, وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. We're not witnesses except to that which we know now. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. We are not protectors and preservers of the unseen. We could not have known he was going to do this. Tell your father that he did it and it wasn't as if we knew he was going to do it and we let him do it to set him up for a downfall. He did it and we didn't know. Meaning, our promise to protect him was sincere. If we saw him stealing, we would have stopped him. That's what they're saying. Now, what's interesting here, there's many interesting points, but very quickly. At the beginning of the story, when Allah tells us about this private gathering that they had, did Allah tell us who said, don't kill Yusuf, but throw him into the well? Allah kept his identity hidden. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ We discussed it then. And the scholars of Tafsir say the Qa'il here is most likely the elder brother. Because of this part of the story where you can see he is in charge. That they had a hierarchy, they had a system. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him hidden. Allah didn't say Qala kabiruhum at the beginning of the story. He said Qala qa'ilun minhum. Why? Because he made a mistake which Allah forgave him for. There's no need to expose him for his mistake. The Quran kept his identity hidden. But here, when they're having the second meeting, he's doing a praiseworthy thing. Allah loves what he's doing. He's taking lead. He's being true to the promise he made to his father. For Allah exposed his identity. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ The oldest brother said. What lesson do we learn from this, brothers and sisters in Islam? That if Allah can hide his slave's identity after he forgives him, what about you and me? If Allah, who is the Lord, the owner of everything, exercises his right to keep his slave's identity hidden because he forgave him, and we know that Allah loves for us a sitr, to hide, conceal the mistakes of our brothers and sisters. If Allah does this for the brother of Yusuf, what is our responsibility towards our brothers? And that's why the rewards of concealing the mistakes of your fellow brother and sister is huge in this life and the next. Because in this life, Allah will conceal you. He won't expose you. And we know, brothers and sisters in Islam, quite honestly, the people who are amazed, you know, they're amazed by us. They're not amazed by us because we're amazing. They're amazed by us because of everything Allah kept hidden from them. They're amazed by us because of all our flaws, all our faults that Allah has kept hidden from their eyes and ears. If they knew, we would be nowhere near amazing in their hearts and minds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He conceals our flaws and faults and mistakes as a prize for those who conceal the flaws and mistakes of other people, number one. And number two, on the day of Qiyamah, your reckoning will be done in a concealed manner as well. Allah won't expose you on the day of Qiyamah. As per the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other thing is, remember the first incident after they got rid of Yusuf and they stole his shirt and they dipped it in blood and they came to the father and they gave the father and they had this conversation with their father. Inna dhahabna nastabiqu wa tarakna Yusufa 'inda mata'ina fa akalahu adh-dhi'b wa ma anta bimu'minin lana wa law kunna sadiqin and right? And we discussed their speech pattern there. It was a sinful speech. And even the pattern of the speech, you can see it comes across as a speech pattern from someone who's guilty, not someone who's innocent. They said to their father, we were playing and, we left Yusuf with, you got to imagine it like this. We left, Yusuf with the belongings and subhanAllah, he was eaten by a wolf. You can tell that, no, this is a made up story. But right now, can you hear what the big brother is telling them to tell their father? If you listen to the speech, you can see it's the speech of a truthful, it's based on a truthful narrative. Yani, he's saying to his brothers, irju ila bikum faqulu ya abana inna banaka saraq. Inna, adat tawkid. Indeed, your son has stolen. Is this the speech of someone who's lying, making things up? To them, he's stolen. And they say, tell our father, وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِمْنَا Meaning, we didn't see him steal, but we are witnesses to this based on what we've learned from what happened. We saw the goblet come out from his sack. We didn't see him put it in, but we saw it coming out. So you can imagine like the conversation happened and this thought came into the mind. That, okay, but did you see him steal? No, so how are you calling him a thief? How are you saying he stole? مَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. We witnessed the goblet coming out of his load of food. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. If we did see him, our dear father, we would have stopped him. We cannot protect the unseen. We could not have known he was going to do this. Imagine, huh? وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. لا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is the speech of people who are telling the truth. Can you see this? Our dear father, يعني اسأل القرية. You're telling, go ask the people of the city where we came from. They'll even tell you what happened. And al-'ir, ask the people of the caravan that we came with. They were all there. They saw what happened. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. Meaning we are telling the truth. We are without doubt telling you the truth. Subhanallah, huh? Full circle. They had this discussion of a stressful discussion with their father when Yusuf went away. Now they're having this stressful discussion with their father when Binyamin's gone away. But the narratives are different. The first time they were liars, this time they are truthful. But what does the Ya'qub do? Ya'qub says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Subhanallah. Ya'qub says, rather, you guys have been up to no good like before. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ سَأَصْبِرُ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. I'm going to exercise a beautiful patience again. Now, أَنَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ. I'm asking you, which is the bigger calamity? The previous calamity or a renewal of a calamity? Why? What does the renewal do? It reminds you of the pangs and the hurt of the last one, and it compounds it. This is double trouble now, huh? This is compounded hurt. I'm not one son down, I'm two sons down. And then similar circumstances. And then, subhanAllah, days go, I'm thinking of Yusuf, I'm not... Now all those emotions have come back. All those feelings have come back. All those memories have come back. All that hurt has come back. All that sadness has come back. And it's come back, and on top of it, there's a whole new load of those sadness and feelings and so on and so forth added to this. I've got two children missing, and I've got one son who is holding himself hostage and saying he's not going to come back until I give him permission. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, we should learn from this. يعني حتى نكون واقعيين. It's important that we are practical people in life. We are people who live in upon plausible realities. Yaqub alayhi salam, did he say you are liars? He's saying, I'm having a difficult time believing what's happened. This is history repeating itself. Which tells us what? They were human beings, we are human beings. That don't hold people accountable. If you wrong them, and then another time comes where you're in the right, and they find difficulty trusting you. Don't hold them accountable. Don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Make an excuse for them that, subhanAllah, you know what? They are having trouble trusting me, and that's on me, because I did this to them before. It needs time. We're human beings. I did this to them before. I made a mistake. I wronged them. I broke trust. I can't just expect trust to be extended on time, every time, without question. Another similar circumstance has happened. I was part of the first circumstance. And now this is a replica of that one. Even though I'm innocent now, if at-tuham, if I'm being accused, let me not take it personally. Let me understand that. And Yaqub didn't accuse them. He didn't say, you're lying. He just said, there's something fishy going on here. سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. You guys were up to no good. But is he blameworthy? That's the question. Would you blame Ya'qub alayhi salam for saying this to his sons? No. Why? Because of the first incident, right? So similarly, in our lives, may Allah save us from breaking trust with people. But if we do, and we're guilty, and then things heal over time, and then a tajdeed happens, a renewal of the past happens, albeit in different circumstances, and all of a sudden, their attitude towards us changes a little bit. Their willingness to give us the benefit of the doubt changes a little bit. Don't hold them accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Make an excuse for them. That's what I'm saying. A lot of the times then we kick up a fuss and we create the disunity because we expect uncensored application within the friendship. It's not from human nature. These are prophets. You see, brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope you learn from Surah Yusuf that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us stories of the prophets, it's not only to teach us ahkam, halal and haram. It's to teach us character as well. Teach us sabr, teach us patience. Look at the story of Ayyub. What is the core theme of the story of Ayyub alayhi salam? Any da'wah mentioned in the story of Ayyub? Do we have like verses about his da'wah and his people and like about Thamud? Meaning in terms of Prophet Shu'aib and in terms of Prophet Salih and in terms of Prophet Nuh, in terms of Prophet Musa, we have details of their da'wah, correct? Allah tells us, they went, they said, what they told their people, what their people said to them, what happened, what punishment came. Tayyib, Ayyub, Yaqub, Yusuf, Zakariya, قال ربي إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبة. He's having a, Allah is teaching us from that story how to converse with Allah. That dua is also the conversation that you have with Allah. Zakariya is conversing with Allah. And he knows, Allah knows that his hairs are white and his bones are weak. But he's telling Allah, Ya Rabbi, my bones are gone weak and my hair is gone white and I need a child. He's conversing with Allah. So you have to, يعني لازم نتعمق في الأفكار يعني في التعامل مع القرآن والقصص القرآني. We have to, we have to become more substantial in how we interact with the Quran, especially the stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. That some of the stories, these stories, Allah reveals them to us to develop our character, to develop our hearts, to develop our souls, to understand the dynamics between human beings, the difficulties between human beings, the sensitivities between human beings, that you might be a person who feels, no, I can't deal with this person. But it's how you go about it. How you go about it. Look at Ya'qub. He said, سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He's resorting back to connecting himself to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Subhanallah. Our brother Munir spoke the truth. When the calamity strikes the second time, it's harder than the first time. The first time is hard, this is even harder because like we said, it brings all the musibah and the masa'ib, all the difficulties of the past and compounds it. Allah tells us that Ya'qub turned away from his sons and he expressed to Allah his sorrow. Subhanallah. At losing Yusuf. Where did Yusuf come into the picture? Who's missing here? Binyamin. 40 to 50 years later, that was Yusuf alayhi salam. Now 40 to 50 years later, he's dealing with tajdeed al-musibah, the renewal of the calamity. Who's missing? Binyamin. Is he saying asafa ala Binyamin? Asafa ala Yusuf. What is this teaching you? All those past memories, all the past pain, all the past hurt, all the past trepidation, all the past sadness, it all came tumbling back. And he called out ala Yusuf. But also, of course, Binyamin. And Allah tells us that he physically manifested the hurt that he felt through him becoming blind. Now, this is just tadabbura. We're pondering. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you got to recognize that we as a creation, Allah has created us with this quwwat al-thalatha, these three powers. You have the physical power, you have the emotional power, and you have the intellectual power. But they're all connected. They are all connected. All these three powers are connected. I'll explain to you further so you understand better. Anger, what is that? It's an emotion, correct? It's an emotion. When you get angry, that's your emotion from your emotional power, right? Okay, some people when they get angry, don't you see their ears go red? There's a physical reaction. Huh? Okay. When they get angry, they don't think properly. Huh? لَا يَقْضِي الْقَاضِي وَهُوَ غَضْبَانِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the judge must not rule when he's angry. ليش? Why? Anger is an emotion. When he rules, he's ruling with his mind, with his intelligence. What's emotion got? No, because that anger affects his cognitive abilities. Are you with me? And then the scholars, through extension, said, لَا يَقْضِي الْقَاضِي وَهُوَ جُوعَانٍ. The Qadi should not rule when he's hungry. You know, a hungry man is an angry man. And if he's really hungry, subhanAllah. I finally got your attention. when a person is really hungry, you see him short-tempered, isn't it? But hunger is physical, but short-tempered is emotional, but also intellectually, he's not worth it, he needs to eat. Let me have my cup of tea, then we'll have this discussion. My coffee, let me have my coffee. لازم أشرب القهوة قبل. بعدين نتناقش. نتفاهم. Let me have my coffee first, then we will discuss it. It's all connected. It's all connected. The stress you feel has an impact on your emotion. The stress you feel has an impact on your health. The stress you feel has an impact on your mind. And perhaps this, Wallahu A'lam, I haven't found a scholar of tafsir share anything out of the ordinary with regards to what happened to Yaqub here, that he became blind. Sorry? Al-Moy al-Barid. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَهُ. And he became blind.
Yeah, but there is a specific
case. Correct. But this is now. This is people trying to analyze it now. But what we know from the tafsir is he lost his eyesight. How do we know that? Because at the end, when Yusuf told the brothers, take the shirt back to our father, فَرْتَدَّ بَصِيرَهُ. He'll begin to see again. And you are right, I've seen some of those discussions, that there is this... you mentioned it, correct. You don't know the name, and I also don't know the name. But I've come across this. The cause for the eye losing its ability to see. Tayyib. Okay, where were we? I haven't seen anything in the books of tafsir that tell us anything out of the ordinary about this part of the story, Yaqub losing his eyesight. But what I'm sharing with you is through personal reflection. Allah knows best that maybe the stress consumed him. It was such a severe stress that it had a physical manifestation. And that physical manifestation was on his eyesight becoming temporarily, or him becoming temporarily blind. And when Yusuf sends the shirt later on, that relief, perhaps caused the stress to dissipate and caused the eyesight to return. Wallahu alam. Wallahu alam. What we have with us is Zahir al-Quran. We have the apparent teachings of the Quran. We don't need any medical diagnosis here. طيب. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ فَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ قَالُوا. Who's saying this? قَالُوا, the brothers that came back, Yaqub's sons, besides the older one, besides Binyamin, and besides Yusuf. قَالُوا, they said, تَاللَّهِ, we swear by Allah. تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفْ. You're going to continue remembering Yusuf like this? يعني, still? We're discussing Binyamin, we're discussing some other matter, and you, أَصَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفْ. يعني, ما ينبغي مثل هذا الكلام ما ينبغي. I mean, this is not an appropriate speech to say to your father. I mean, in any way. But even you got to remember from their perspective, they know that they are guilty for what happened to Yusuf. And when their father mentions Yusuf, their guilt just becomes compounded. When you know you wronged your mother or you wronged your father, and that, right? And the truth hasn't come out. You haven't admitted. They know. You feel that no. I think they know what's happened. Right? And there's this airy silence between us. We just don't deal with this topic. And then a year, every 6 months, every few months, the topic comes up. How do you react to that discussion? When you know you're guilty. So they're saying to him, are you going to continue doing this? حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. Until you become, you know, severely impaired, or you become destroyed. You're going to destroy yourself if you carry on like this. Look at Yaqub's words. He said to his sons, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. The fact that you heard me say what I said doesn't mean I was talking to you. I wasn't talking to you. أَشْكُ, I complain. بَثِّي, بَثِّ, as I said to you, is that sadness you need to get out of your chest. You know, sometimes you need to speak to somebody. You need to get it out. You say it's therapeutic. I need to get it out of me. I need to speak to somebody. Otherwise, it's going to consume me. It's going to harm me. People feel that. Some people say it's going to kill me. If I don't speak to someone, this is going to eat me up alive. This is bath, when you have to take it out. Yaqub is saying, take it out, but take it out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it out to Allah. He says, I extract this desire to speak and the contents of that speech only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the only one whom my sadness is directed to. I don't complain about Him. I direct my sadness to Him, looking for inspiration from Him. And then he says that I know from Allah that which you do not know. He's a messenger. He heard Yusuf's dream. He has hope. But remember, father's love for a child, mother's love for a child, it's a whole different scene. That even though Ya'qub knew that Allah is going to take my son on a journey to complete His favor upon my son, Ya'qub didn't know the details of that journey. But Ya'qub knew it would be a difficult journey. It would be a difficult journey. And Ya'qub didn't know, would it be a journey in which my son would slip and then need to ask forgiveness from Allah for, and then Allah will forgive him? He doesn't know the details. He doesn't even want his son to slip even an iota's portion in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he's always thinking of Yusuf. What's happened to him? How is he? Is he a believer? Did he pass the test? Did Allah's favor be completed upon him? How did Allah's favor be completed upon him? Some prophets, Nuh, he asked Allah to forgive his son when his son was a disbeliever. And Allah disciplined him. And Nuh had to ask forgiveness from Allah. And so on and so forth. I'm just giving you plausible a plausible circumstance here to help us understand what's going on. Because you might say, but he's a prophet, he heard the dream, he knew Yusuf was going to succeed, what's the problem? No, this is a father-mother's love. Allah is teaching us here that that bond between a parent and a child, it's just too unique. It's too unique. Even when there's every reason for the child to be safe, a parent will worry. Even if there's every reason for you to be safe, a parent will worry. You didn't message one day, how come they didn't message? They'll check your WhatsApp. When last was he online? Okay, he was online. It's okay. They worry. Even though there's no reason for them not to worry. It's not like you travel to a country and all of a sudden a war broke out. And now there's a reason to worry. Or you travel to a country, there was a tsunami. And now there's a reason to worry. Right? There's no reason to worry. But you didn't check in, they will worry. That's from Allah to a parent for the child. And some children, subhanAllah, they don't recognize this. Surah Yusuf is teaching you this. Recognize this in your parents. Give them a break. Some parents feel, I'm getting claustrophobic. Every time, where are you? And how did it go? And call me. And make sure you call me. And if you didn't call me, do it. It's okay. Do it. They're not doing it because they don't trust you. They're doing it because it's for them. It's for their own peace of mind. For their own heart's serenity. Engage them. Call them, talk to them. And you see this in people, subhanAllah, who've gone older. I've noticed this. Because as you do community work, when you sit with people who are 80, 85, 78, 75, in this bracket, subhanAllah, they talk to you with anything. Right? They talk to you anything. And you don't know the details. And sometimes we feel like, I'm wasting my time, and what's the benefit in this conversation? I can't even add anything of value. No, you are adding something of value. You just being there and absorbing what they're saying is just therapeutic for them. It's doing the world of good for them. So even though you are okay and your mother knows that you are okay, you checking in and letting her know you're okay is doing a world of good for them. When you tell your parents, I'll be back at 10 p.m. Tayyib, you know, you looked at the sat-nav. Sat-nav says arrival 10:03, 10:02, 10:01, pick up the phone. Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, I'm on my way home. I'm going to be 1 minute late. Hada, this is beloved to Allah. Today we say, what's 1 minute, ya akhi? 1 minute, if your mother looked at the watch and said it's 10:01 and he's not back and she felt that little worry, that is azim with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That worry is not small with Allah. Allah loves her for having that worry for you. And if you made that promise to your mother, then Allah is going to ask you about it. Then why did you let your mother worry even that little bit? There's a story, subhanAllah, that I came across, but I forgot who. I don't know if it's Sufyan al-Thawri, or if it's Ibn Uyayna, or one of the two Sufyans. Wallahu a'lam, maybe it's not even Sufyan. But someone from the pious who had many students, and he would teach his students adab, etiquettes, manners, morals, but he never used to eat with his mother. So once a student questioned him and said, Ya Shaykhana, our teacher, You teach us all these things, but we never see you eating with your mother. We never see you eating with your mother. You remember this? Who does this go back to? You remember the...
I think it's
Ibn Uyayna, one of the Sufyan. Ahsan, na'am. You know, why don't you eat with your mother? So, subhanAllah, he teared. He teared and he said, subhanAllah, your question is in its place. And it's from good manners to eat with your mother. But subhanAllah, when I eat with her, I have a fear that we'll be eating from the same plate. And her eye might fall on a piece of meat or something in the plate that she desires to eat. And before she gets there, I eat it. SubhanAllah. Huh? SubhanAllah. They understood birr al-walidain. May Allah forgive me and forgive you. They understood birr al-walidain. That's why I ask Allah, Allahumma ja'alna barran liwalidina. Waj'alhuma radiyaini anna. وَجَعَلُهُمْ رَاضِينَ عَنَّهُ. We do plural, huh? وَحْفَظْهُمْ بِحِفْظِكَ الَّذِي تَحْفَظُ بِهِ عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. May Allah make us righteous to our parents. And may Allah make them pleased with us. And may Allah protect them, the protection that He offers the righteous slaves of His. Ameen. So Yaqub says, I only complain to Allah. يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُ. Now he's prescriptive, he's instructive. Oh my children, اِذْهَبُ. Go. Go back. اذهبوا فتحسسوا. Search me Yusuf wa akhi. For Yusuf and his brother. Look at the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he's telling his children, I haven't lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This complaint is to Allah, but it's not the complaint of a person who has no hope in Allah. I have all hope in Allah. I have so much hope that I'm telling you, go search for Yusuf. You came to me with the Binyamin issue, go search for both Yusuf and Binyamin. وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ. And don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ. SubhanAllah. No one loses hope in the mercy of Allah except a disbeliever. يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. Except a disbeliever. And this is perhaps the message of the evening as you go to worship Allah this night. That my dear brother, my dear sister, my dear mother, my dear father, no matter how much you've sinned, no matter how many years this sin has been with you, no matter how much you've wronged yourself in front of Allah, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. The only one who loses hope in Allah, loses hope in His mercy, loses hope in His aid, loses hope in His assistance, is a disbeliever. You are not a disbeliever. Allah honored you with iman. He honored you with the source of hope. SubhanAllah. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. Allah fast forwards the story. Now they're back in Egypt. They enter into the palace of the king. And they say to Yusuf, the minister, Aziz, or minister, or honorable one, مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفلنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين. يعني this verse threw me back. يعني subhanAllah, Yaqub told his children, go to Egypt and look for Yusuf and his brother. Meaning go back and look for Yusuf and his brother. They gone back to Egypt and they say, oh minister, our family has been struck with difficulty. And we've come to you with paltry merchandise that is inferior in value and in quality. فَأَوْفِلَنَا الْكَيْلِ. Give us food. Give us a camel's load of food for the merchandise that we have. وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا. And be charitable to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. They focus on مُتَصَدِّقِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who are charitable. Now I was thinking, subhanAllah, yeah, the father is telling you, go search for Yusuf and Binyamin, and you are going and asking for food. How? كيف يعني? This is the instruction, and then this verse is asking is something else. Yaqub didn't say, go and bring more food. Go, my sons, back to Egypt and come back with another load of food. No. No one cares about food. Yaqub doesn't think about food. Yes, there's a drought, there's a famine. He only thinks about his sons. But the sons are asking the minister for food. وقعدت يعني أتأمل. I sat thinking, contemplating. Where's the message, ya Allah? No doubt, the Quran is haqq. This verse is in its place. It's not misplaced. Ya Allah, alhimni rushdi. Give me some guidance here, ya Allah. What is going on here? And I found it. Bifadlillah. You know where? وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, think about it. Before they had that private meeting, what does Allah tell us? فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. يعني استيأسوا منه. They lost all hope in having any discussion about Binyamin with Yusuf عليه السلام, with the minister. They didn't know he was Yusuf. But they already had this discussion about Binyamin with him. They tried. They said, take one of us. خُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَا. They tried everything. And that minister, they don't know it's Yusuf, that minister didn't entertain any of our advances. So that ship has sailed, as we say in the English language. Us going to him and telling him, give us Yusuf, it sailed. So what did they do? They went and presented themselves in a humble way. Our home, it's not a rich home. There's famine, there's lack of food. We have a father who's old. We told you, inna lahu aban shaykhan kabiran. We told you about the father. And you know, now the difficulty of the famine, the difficulty of no food, the difficulty of no brother, no son. So they said, watasaddaq alayna. Be charitable to us. We've come to you with our bidah. It's inferior. But what are they saying? تصدق علينا. Be charitable to us, even though we don't deserve it. Give us back Binyamin. This is the only message that you can deduce from this. And they focus on being charitable. They say, indeed, Allah rewards those who are charitable. You see? What are they saying? They're saying to us, we're not going to debate you here. We're asking you to be benevolent. أنت في موقف الحق والصواب. أنت في الموقف الأعلى ونحن في موقف الأدنى. You are on the elevated platform, we are on the lowly platform. The rights are with you. You found the goblet in his bag. We told you the punishment. All the evidences are with you. If we argue this, you will win the argument. So خلاص, let's not discuss Binyamin. But let's ask him for Binyamin indirectly. Does it make sense? Otherwise, how do you understand this? Huh? Allah ya'fu anni in akhta'at. Allah forgive me if I'm mistaken in my tadabbur here. But this is it. وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا. They didn't ask for sadaqah before. Every time they went with the bida'ah. They went with the merchandise and they took the food. They went with the merch. They didn't ask for any sadaqah. Now they're asking for sadaqah. Now they're tapping into the minister's charitable side. The minister told us before that if you bring your brother, I'll give you the load. I'll give you his quota. I was honorable to you. We were hospitable to you. Remember that? So they're playing on that. That we know that you have these qualities. تصدق علينا. Just be benevolent with us. Just forget about the matter. Turn a blind eye to the matter. You have the authority in the land to let Binyamin go. تصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين. Now, subhanAllah, Yusuf is sitting here, seeing all of this, seeing his brothers humbled, stressed. And Yusuf is thinking, subhanAllah, they are describing my father's situation back home. مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرِّ. ضُرْ, subhanAllah, look at the ta'bir. يعني, we have been afflicted with harm. ضُرْ. Turbulence has struck our home. Our home has been shaken. Yusuf comes out now. Khalas. Huh? Let's take this to the next step. Now enough is enough. Huh? He looks at them. You can imagine this. He looks at them. And instead of discussing sadaqah, wa tasaddaq alayna, wa, he says, قَالَ هَلَ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. The big reveal. I mean, you are in this state, and then all of a sudden you hear something that snaps you out of it. Huh? You're in a one state, And then you hear Yusuf from, who's this guy? Huh? It snaps you out of it. Huh? Hmm. But look how, subhanAllah, ذو خلق, هو خلق يوسف عليه السلام. Look at his character. He says, إذ أنتم جاهلون. This, this part of the verse, subhanAllah, it, like a magnet, it sucked my attention and sucked my eyesight. إذ أنتم جاهلون. He said to his brothers, do you know what you did to Yusuf? Back then in the day when you had jahiliyyah and you were, you know, ignorant and, you know, when you never used to know, back then when... And his brother, na'am. Even though they did nothing to his brother, but meaning back then. Right now, when Yusuf took the brother, they had nothing to do with it. But Yusuf is highlighting that I know the hurt you caused me and you caused my brother. But he makes an excuse for them. This is ajeeb. You are the minister. You are in charge. You have the army. You have the Wizara Dakhiliyah. You have the Ministry of Interior. You have what are the Al-Quwat Al-Musallaha? You have the Sultan, the authority. You have the, you have everything. You have the National Guard, Al-Haras Al-Watani. You have everything at your, you have everything at your disposal. You have the, every power in the land at your disposal. You can strike. But not only does he choose not to strike, he chooses to be benevolent in how he introduces himself to them. He didn't say, هَلْ أَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفِ يعني وَأَخِي إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُتَكَبِّرُونَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ آثِمُونَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ يعني you were ignorant. Because in the Sharia of Allah, someone who's ignorant, the way the Sharia works for them is different. Correct? Yusuf is making an excuse for them. They weren't ignorant. They were elders. They knew what they were doing. They planned it. Where's the ignorance here? They planned. What were they ignorant of? They planned it. They discussed it. They thought about it. They turned the thoughts into an idea. The idea into a plan. The plan into action. They executed the action. Where's the jahilun here? Where's the jahil? Oh, these people knew what they were doing. Lakin, إِذَ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. What are you ignorant of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you were ignorant of Allah. See, هو داعي. بمعنى الكلمة. We always said this. He is a داعي in every sense of the word. So he's giving them da'wah. He's telling them, you were ignorant of Allah when you did that to me. How do we know? Remember when Yusuf was with the women in the room and they were calling him to her, as some of the scholars, to them, as some of the scholars of tafsir say, that he was tested by all the women. What did he say? Rabbi, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma tad'unani ilay. Yad'unani ilay. Then what did he say? Wa illam tasrif anni kaydahun asbu ilayhinna wa akum min al-jahilin. He said to Allah, oh Allah, prison is more beloved to me than this adultery that they're calling me to. And if you don't swerve me away from what they're calling me to, I'm going to be inclined towards what they're calling me to. Because I'm a man, I'm a human being. And if I fall into that trap, أَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ I will be from those who are ignorant. Ignorant of what? You don't know this is wrong, Yusuf? Of course you know. You are asking Allah to save you from it. Ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here he's making the excuse for his brothers. You are ignorant of Allah when you did that to me. You are people of Iman. If you remembered Allah at that moment, you wouldn't have done it. And how is he able to make this excuse for his brothers? Come on, think, brothers and sisters. How is he able to make this excuse for his brothers? Because his father taught him when he was a little boy in his father's home. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. My father taught me that if my brothers plot against me, they are wrong, but I shouldn't forget Shaitan's hand in their wrong. And what does Shaitan do to make you do wrong? He makes you forget about who? He makes you forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got to tie the story together, brothers and sisters in Islam. This is tadabbur, ponder, put the piece, put everything together. How is he saying this? How did he make this excuse? Where did he get this lesson from? And you can see it's established with him. So Surah Yusuf is teaching us, whenever a person sins, they sin because they're ignorant of Allah. If they knew who Allah is, they wouldn't sin. Subhanallah. And attached to this is some of those narrations that we hear about a person doesn't sin, meaning nobody sins, and they're a believer. لا يزني الزاني وهو مؤمن. An adulterer does not engage in zina, and they're a believer. Meaning, but this doesn't mean that they're a disbeliever. From the view and the beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our aqidah, the aqidah of the rightly guided, is that a major sin doesn't take you out of Islam. But what's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying here? That you do not practice sin and you're a believer, meaning completeness. Your completeness of faith has dwindled when you practice that sin. And that dwindling happens because you are ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is in who? Who do you believe in? In Allah. If your iman is deficient, what's deficient? Your knowledge of who? Allah. So connect this whole, these elements, jahal, ignorance, sinning, shaitan, iman, connect it all, how it's all connected. So that you can balance your lives. Whenever you want to get away from sin, you need to increase your knowledge. Of who? Of Allah. It will help you stay away from sin. Because no one who truly knows Allah chooses something else over Allah. When you choose something else over Allah, you are jahil of certain elements. You may know Allah, you may love Allah, but there are certain elements that will take your love of Allah and your knowledge of Allah to the next level that's missing. That's why you're preferring the sin over it. And that's the shahwa. Marad al-shahwa. The disease of following your lusts and desires. Tayyib. We're going to finish shortly, inshallah. I'll just take it to the next point. So Yusuf exposes himself to them. قالوا أإنك لأنت يوسف. What else can you say? What else is there to say? And you've been snapped out of this whole other thing you've been having with your father, because all of a sudden, my word, our father said, go look for Yusuf, and he just landed to us on a plate. He's in front of us. Are you Yusuf? Only you can be. The only people who know about this is us and Yusuf. So if you are asking us about Yusuf, are you Yusuf? Or did Yusuf tell you what happened to him? So you know Yusuf, where can we find him? Do you think they were looking to find him? Allahu A'lam. They are shocked. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ Yusuf. Are you indeed Yusuf? قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. I am Yusuf and this is my brother. Of course they know that Binyamin is his brother. But this is out of the excitement of Yusuf. That he missed his brother. And his brother missed him. That Yusuf wants to express his happiness in a setting that's not void of the mention of his brother. وَهَذَا أَخِي. Even when he said to them, قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفُ وَأَخِي. He kept his brother now with him in the ensuing discussions. That I'm not going to make any narrative move forward except my brother's going to be mentioned with me because we were far apart for too long. So even in conversation, we're going to be together. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now, no doubt, this is a moment of truth. This is when we say moment of truth, يعني بمعنى الكلمة. This is the moment of truth. This is where, subhanAllah, the guilty feel their guilt. At a level never experienced before. And the innocent experience the elation of the innocence. At a level never experienced before. They say to their brother, knowing that who he is, he has all the power in the land, all this, and subhanAllah, he was from a well to this. And we threw him down the well and look at us. بِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاهِ. And he's got all of this, subhanAllah. They're seeing it, they're living it, they're experiencing it. They say to their brothers, but before that, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني يختصر الموضوع لنا. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yusuf, ظاهر القرآن أن يوسف. It's as if Yusuf عليه السلام is giving them the answer to all the questions they have. How did you get out of the well? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. How did you get to Egypt? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. How did you get out of prison? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. مُحْسِنِينَ, مُحْسِنِينَ, مُحْسِنِينَ. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. Huh? We see this in the story. The prisoners say, we see you a person of excellence. Then the women of the city, they announce, mashallah, how excellent and chaste Yusuf is. And then the brothers also say, announce how excellent Yusuf's character is. And Yusuf is telling them, bi-ikhtisar, in summary, you have a lot of questions, you have a lot of thoughts, how, what, when, why. In summary, the answer is one. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Subhanallah. Remember I told you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just do good. You know they say, just do it, huh? With a tick. We say, just do good. Khalas, we need the new logo. New logo, just do good. The theme of Yusuf. Just do good. No matter what, be patient and keep doing good. Allah will fix everything else. Leave Allah to do Allah's thing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, they understood that Allah helps those who do good. So they said, Tallahi, by Allah, لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. By Allah, Allah favored you over us and we were from the wrongdoers. Yusuf alayhi salam, he's so beautiful in his soul, in his heart, in his character. He doesn't want to see this regret from his brothers. He doesn't want to see this type of speech. He doesn't want to make them feel like he's greater than them, subhanallah. He doesn't want to make them feel like he's better than them. He says, no. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No blame upon you. يغفر الله لكم. Allah will forgive you. وهو أرحم الراحمين. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Subhanallah. As if he's trying to say, listen, I don't want our meeting to be in the past. No, khalas. I forgave you a long time ago. My dear brother and sister in Islam, how do we deduce from the story that Yusuf forgave them a long time ago? Who can tell me? How can we deduce from the story that Yusuf forgave them a long time ago? Okay, let me simplify it for you. How can we deduce from this very same verse? Mm-mm. From the same verse. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. I shared this with you as a footnote in previous sessions. MashaAllah, you finally arrived, my brother. Allahu Akbar. Huh? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Absolutely correct. Because when you wrong somebody, Allah will only forgive you after they forgive you. When he is telling them, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, Allah will forgive you, he's telling them, I forgave you long ago. The only thing that is left is for Allah to forgive you, and he will forgive you because I've forgiven you. There's nothing between us. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And he's the most merciful. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Wallahi, we need to stop here, huh? And then Yusuf says, اذهبوا بقميصي هذا فألقوه على وجه أبي يأتي بصيرا وأتوني بأهلكم أجمعين. They say, take my shirt and take it to my father and place it on his eyes, and his eyes will return when he sees it. Meaning, take it to him, when he receives the shirt, his eyesight will return and all of you come to Egypt. Forget about بِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاهٍ, forget about مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرْ, forget about our difficult home and our impoverished belongings. You come and be here with me in Egypt. Now, just before we end, subhanallah, one thing that is a mystery from the mysteries of Surah Yusuf, well, there's not too many. You can call his character a mystery because it's so amazing. But one thing that's a mystery, and I haven't found the answer to, is the secret of the shirt in Surah Yusuf. At the beginning of the story, the shirt. They stole his shirt. In the middle of the story, the shirt, when he was in the room with the minister's wife, where was it torn? In the front? Was it torn at the back? There was the discussion of the shirt. And now at the end of the story, the shirt. And the scholars of tafsir mention all sorts of things to try and explain it, but nothing really that conforms to anything evidence-based. So we leave it at that and we say, Wallahu A'lam. We don't know the secret of the shirt in Surah Yusuf. We don't know it. We don't know it. We'll end here, inshallah. Tomorrow when we come back, we will take the, mashallah, the ending. It's our last session, actually, before I leave. And also it will be the closing to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with our moments that he's given us with his book. Ameen. May he accept it from us. May he enlighten us using his book. May he transform us using his words. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah allow us to connect to the Quran and be from the family of Al-Quran in this life and the next. Ameen. May Allah bless our worship this evening and every evening in the last nights of Ramadan and every day during the month of Ramadan. And may Allah make us from amongst those that stood the nights and fasted the days and stood the night of power, believing in Allah and in the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that will witness the night of power and decree and virtue and receive the rewards of that night. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.